It's Monday, April 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I'm still in Texas. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of great stuff. A couple of soapbox moments coming later. But, hey, you know what's up next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, you want to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over on the website. Of course, you want to check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. We're up live on Ustream. Got a few people that are popping in to watch the show. And, of course, this show is primarily set up for those of you that are subscribed to the podcast. So all of you, make sure that you, as you're visiting geeknewscentral.com, that you click on that iTunes button on the website or the Zune Marketplace. Get subscribed to the podcast so it gets downloaded automatically to your favorite podcatcher so that you can have the show with you wherever you go. And especially on your portable media device, that's the best way to consume it back and forth to work. Of course, you also want to get signed up for our newsletter as well so that you get our show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The show notes contain everything that I talk about during the podcast, and it basically gives you kind of a heads up of what's in the show. And we've got thousands and thousands of people subscribed to it. You definitely not want to miss it. Wow. Well, I tell you, I am sitting here still in Texas, and it actually cooled off today. It's been a chilly day here in Texas, and of course, I didn't bring any coat because winter is supposed to be over, but it was chilly, and not a lot I could do about it. But just to give you guys an update, immediately following the show on Thursday, I was able to drive over to a local airport here in the city that I'm staying in and pick up my suitcase. And yes, it arrived fine. It had been a little worse for wear because it looked like it went halfway around the world and back before I got it. But the main thing is I didn't have to go out and buy any more clothes. And that was a very good thing because I don't normally buy all my clothes. Usually my lovely wife does, and I'll be the first to admit I'm not very color coordinated. Matter of fact, the shirt I'm wearing tonight, I was one that I bought, and she absolutely hates. So I don't necessarily always buy my own stuff, but hey, that's a typical thing, I think, for most men. Hey, we did have our meetup in Austin on Saturday. We met at Bone Daddy's, and I have to say something about Bone Daddy's. Food was terrible. At least my dish was. The fellowship with the podcasters was great. Our waitress was beautiful, which Bone Daddy's is famous for, but not really. I have not had that exposure to that much of an airhead in a long time. And she kept, we'd be talking about something, and she'd come interject herself into our conversations, you know. And we finally kept looking at her, and she finally kind of got the hint a little bit, but oh, definitely not the best pick for a place to go. So while it was a good experience once, we will not do a meetup at a Bone Daddy's ever again, that's for sure. And then I went off to, after that, I went off to one of my favorite electronic stores, Fry's, Fry's Electronics Store, and basically spent about an hour and a half wandering the aisles looking at all the stuff that I really didn't need. But I did come home with one thing. And I couldn't resist myself because I had seen this at the Consumer Electronics Show. It is a Sony. I'm putting it up here in the camera for those of you that are up on Ustream, and you probably can't see it real well, but it's a Sony Webby HD. And the Webby HD, the thing I like about this, and something that's very unique about it, and if you guys on the Ustream can see, if the camera will focus on it, and I don't think it's going to. I can't get that close. It's the first Sony camera that records in MP4 format. And I think this is very significant. And what I like about this little thing, it's $199. And it's actually got a little light on it. Of course, the light is about worthless. But you can record in full 1080i, or actually 1080p with this. And it does it 30 frames per second, gives you about an hour's worth of video on a 4 gig stick. Or you can drop it down to 720, I believe, and you get 2 hours. And what I like about it is when you open the lid, it automatically turns on. So you can, boom, you can get recording real quick. I wanted one of these ever since I saw one on the shelf there at CES, got to play with it. And the primary reason is no editing. I can go straight to YouTube. I can go straight to Blip TV with this with absolutely no editing whatsoever. And it's got a zoom. It's got a few more functions than what we've had with the flash cameras. Very small, handheld. So couldn't resist. Had to pick one up. My wife is probably going to say, why did you get another camera? It's a business expense. We'll write it off at the end of the year. But maybe what we'll do is after I get done playing with it, maybe we'll give one away in the show at some point in the future. So, I got out of fries relatively cheap. So, you know, nothing big, no laptops or nothing like that. After the tax man cometh and taketh away... It's going to be a little while before I buy any laptops or any big hardware, but hopefully we'll be back into looking at the geek products in a couple of months. This Friday, I'm going to be meeting up with more listeners in Dallas. So I have gotten a couple of emails from folks already wanting to meet up. I'm going to be staying up near Dulles, very close to the car drop-off place. There's a rental car drop-off place. There's a it's a Hilton property up there that I stay at quite often. So there's a nice restaurant in the hotel, and unless I get some suggestions, something in and around very close to the Dulles area, we'll probably just meet up at the hotel. There's a bar there. That way I can have a few cocktails and not have to worry about driving and still be able to have dinner, and we can talk and enjoy one another. So Friday in Dallas. I'm going to get the time locked down, but I'm a couple hours away from Dallas right now. So I figure I will probably leave out of here around 4, maybe a little later on Friday. But anyway, plan on dinner in Dallas, 6-ish, maybe 7 o'clock. I don't know. I'll get the word out. But you need to send me an email today, geeknews@gmail.com, if you want to come, so that I can basically email blast you. And put your cell phone numbers in there so I can text you as well. It makes it easier for me to keep you up to date. And of course, I'll have stuff up on the Twitter stream. So hope to see folks out in Dallas on Friday. But I got a lot of great tech for you tonight. Found a lot of cool stuff to go over. And you know, I just checked, and Twitter's offline. And I was actually going to Twitter that the show was getting ready to start. So tonight I did something different. I used Facebook. And I basically put a post on there, and then I used Friend Feed. We're going to talk about a new feature on friendfeed.com. We'll talk about that here a little later, but let me look and see if Twitter's back up yet. I put the this domain name that is very close to Twitter. I bet you they make a lot of money off of people mistyping like I just did. So let me see if they're still on Unscheduled. Oh, they're up. They're back up. So I'm going to do a quick email blast here right during the show. And, of course, immediately comes up the fail whale that Twitter is over capacity. And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to get... Oh, my gosh. Well, obviously, they are not back online yet. Oh, there we go. I finally got up on the page. Okay, I am live. Come hang out for the show. Now. And let's see if I can update, see if it'll actually push. It did. It pushed. So now we'll see some more of our friends join us from... the Twitter community. But let me go ahead and take care of a little business here while some of those folks are getting in, and pay a few bills before we get into the content tonight. And again, great time down in Austin, and I look forward to doing more of these types of events throughout the year. Of course, I want to thank one of our sponsors, GoDaddy.com. You know, they really take care of me, and I hope you'll take care of me through them. When you visit their website and you're looking for a domain name, for a dedicated server, a virtual dedicated server, a shared hosting account, because I can save you a lot of money when you get to that checkout counter by using the promo code TODDTODD. They'll save you 10% off your order. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And then that TODD20 code, TODD20, will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And yes, I am wearing my famous not-yet-sponsored glasses on the show. So hopefully we'll get the attention. You know, I've gave these guys enough publicity already by mentioning our names a couple of times. They probably don't need to, but tonight, no mention of the name. But if the company's watching, you guys know your glasses. We'd love to have you as a sponsor here. Really, you know, there's a couple of ways to do business these days. The old way, you meet business over the phone or in person. And a new, better way to meet clients and colleagues online is with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is like meeting in person, but less time-consuming and less expensive. Start meeting with just a click. See, everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen, so they can follow along as you move from page to page. Use GoToMeeting for sales presentations, product demos, or training sessions. Even collaborate on documents by sharing screens in real time. I've used GoToMeeting many, many times. It's really great. Matter of fact, we'll be doing a Tech Podcast Network team meeting tomorrow. We'll be using GoToMeeting and having everyone in, and we're talking about some things we're going to be doing over there. But you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. But you must visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. Okay, no, I do not want to save changes there, Microsoft Word. You guys hear that little ding in the background when I was closing that document? So let me go ahead here and load Firefox because I am doing the show now 100% through Firefox. I'm not using Feed Demon anymore, and I've had no problems making the switch over to Google Reader and basically loading the show in tabs. And it's actually made it handy too, because from time to time I'll get on Google Reader and I'll check a couple of things, I'll star stuff out, and I've been able to find a lot more material instead of just me sitting down and doing, you know, an hour and a half's worth of work to dig everything out at one time. Over a couple of day period, I can find the stuff I want to talk about. Hey, the first article tonight is about the Optimal Joule electric vehicle. And I asked one of the buddies I'm hanging out here with today, I said, would you buy one of these tiny cars? And he looked at it, and he said, honestly, no. But, you know, as I've been traveling a lot, especially overseas, all I see are these mini vehicles. In Japan, they were rampant. Matter of fact, the folks in Japan that buy these little mini cars like this, they get a huge discount on their tax and licensing fees. Just because they're smaller, they don't beat up the roads as bad. But this company that is building these in South Africa are going to be exporting some initially. And, of course, it was shown at the Paris Motor Show, but they're projecting a price of around $33,500 as a target. And I think this is pretty intriguing. I think this is a way we're going to see a lot of vehicles in the future getting much, much smaller. And obviously, this is an electric vehicle. I don't know what the range on this vehicle is. 250 miles on a single charge. So, you know, that actually works for most of us. I know that the average commute, I believe, is like 20 to 30 miles. So, you know, pretty good for a commuter car back and forth for sure. So we'll keep an eye on this, but I have a link up to it in the show notes. You guys can check it out and let me know what you think. And as always, when we're talking about items in the show tonight, I'd love to hear your feedback. You can send feedback to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline at 1-619, that's +1-619-342-7365. Those of you on Ustream tonight, I want to let you know that I'm streaming via my EVDO card, my Sprint EVDO card. And the reason I'm doing that is because the hotel bandwidth is not good enough to support the live video, but the EVDO card is. So if the video appears a little choppy at times, that's what it is. That's what's happening there. And those of you that may be watching the show after it's been recorded. Now, you know, I know where my butter's bread, right? I have sponsors of the show, and they take care of me. I take care of them. I support their products. But can you imagine being hired for an event? And the event you've been hired to is to promote, do a promo for LG. Now, if you know, LG is a phone manufacturer, and this gentleman by the name of Michael Bay was hired to do promotional support for Transformer 2, Revenge of the Fallen, at the CTIA show. So, you know, here's this guy, he's promoting Transformers 2, and he's, you know, he's being a dork and basically saying, hey, I really don't know too much about mobile phones, and he pulls out of his pocket a Samsung phone and brags it only cost him $39.95. And I guess one of the directors over there, the mobile product president, he said, hey, I'll give you my phone. Instead of this guy, you know, getting a clue and taking the phone from the president of LG, he says, no, all my contacts are in this one. I wouldn't want to transfer them. I am sure that this guy is going to get hired back by LG in the future. What a knucklehead. You know, you're at an event. You're being paid by LG, and you pull out a Samsung phone. That is just on the order of insanity. I was talking with my lovely wife earlier today on the phone, and I said, honey, has anything came in the mail yet? And she goes, you've gotten some boxes and stuff. So I was like, read me who sent these. And she's reading through, and it wasn't that one. I'm waiting for my Pogo plug to arrive, folks. They are shipping. I'm expecting it any day. We've already got a person on the show that has won a Pogo plug. So the Pogo plug is coming. But if you guys want to see a review of a Pogo plug, you'll definitely want to check out the article I'm going to link up to in the show notes. Very cool demo here. Here, I'm going to tell you what. You guys, we've got a great demo over on Tech Podcast on Pogo Plug, and we're actually trying to work some discounts, okay? So if you want to hold off just a little bit, we're trying to get you some discounts for a Pogo Plug. So by getting you a little promo code. So, but if you can't wait, there's a good review up. The link will be up in the show notes. You know, I saw an article this afternoon. It's over on Engadget talking about a product called the Mini Hydro Turbine. And I got to thinking about this a little bit, and I said, this is a pretty good idea. What it is, it's a turbine. It's a little power generator that is put in line of your, basically you could put it on a faucet. You could put it on a kitchen sink. I think it'd be a great place to put on, you know, your water lines to your shower or even in your house. Because you think about it, you know, how much water do we use in our homes? But doesn't it make sense as the water's being pushed through to spin a little turbine inside a little device to maybe power, give us enough power to maybe charge our cell phones and those types of devices? Makes a lot of sense to me. When I'm watering my yard, why can't I have like 10 of these in line? And actually, as the water runs through, it spins them, creates a little power, puts it in a little storage device. It may not be a lot, but considering how much water the average family uses a day, if this is on the inlet of your house, it could probably end up, you know, if it's geared right, it could probably end up being quite a bit of energy that you could create just by running water in your house. You know, I think this is a great concept that, if really expanded upon and made into a kit that people could easily put in their on their house, you know, it might be a way to, you know, if the cost wasn't too high, might be able to reduce the, reduce your energy consumption just a little bit. I don't know what the dollar value on this would be as far as what you would get out of it, but you know, how many gallons of water do you guys push through your water lines every year? You know, how much, you know, if this device was $100, how long would it take to pay this thing back? I don't know. But cool idea, but I'll have this link up to it in the show notes. All right, how many of you are PC users and you're tired of, getting all this bloated stuff with iTunes when you're trying to load it? And a lot of people don't want to load all this extra bloat. Well, there's a custom iTunes 8 installer that removes QuickTime, Bonjour, and iTunes Helper from the install package. Can use a QuickTime alternative to get iTunes to work. Now, usually you'll want to load QuickTime with iTunes, but there is an alternative. It's a QuickTime alternative that can be installed in the iTunes add-ins that basically is a little more lightweight version of a player that will play .movs and so forth. So if you're looking to, lighten the load a little bit on the iTunes install, this might be a good helper article for you to check out. All right, Windows 7. You know, I think we're all getting pretty excited about Windows 7. I've got a test machine at home that I'm running Windows 7 on. I'm really excited about it. I like its speed. I like its interface. Of course, I like Vista, so what can I say? And yes, my Mac is actually doing the Ustream stream tonight. So it's doing the light lifting, I guess, while the PC's doing the heavy lifting tonight. I guess we'll talk a little bit about the PC Mac commercial stuff here in a little bit as well. I'm sure we'll generate some more conversation on the show and in the hopefully in the comments. But Microsoft is going to allow Windows 7 users to downgrade to XP if they want to. Now, I think this is going to be a little bit of a challenge because unless you have a Windows XP copy in your home that isn't licensed to another computer, I don't think you can buy Windows XP. I think you'll have to order Windows XP with your Windows 7 machine. But maybe that's the way to get some more copies of Windows XP if you so want to. When you buy a computer, just say, hey, I want to buy the downgrade, but maybe they'll let you install it yourself. But this is going to be good. I think they're going to be extending this. Is that some news out of HP today said that they're going to be able to downgrade machines to XP until April 30th, 2010. So that's a little over a year from now. You'll still be able to get an XP fix if you don't like Windows 7 on new computers that you're buying. All right, this is a little bit of soapbox here. I need a little soapbox, some sort of a little intro to soapbox time. But the Associated Press is decided that it has to resort to some of the same tactics that the RIAA and the MPAA have done to save their failing business model. The Associated Press is going to be taking on web aggregators, and they are basically saying that they don't rule out blogs, but they think this is primarily being aimed at companies like Google and Huffington Post and groups like that that do a lot of news aggregation. They're saying you don't license our content and you aggregate it on your site, we are going to sue you. They are going to demand that websites attain permission to use the work of the Associated Press or its members' newspapers and share revenue. Get this, share revenue with the news organizations, and that it will take legal action against those that do not. So I've had a policy on Geek News Central for a while now never to link directly to AP articles, but this ups the stake here quite a bit in that if I link to the article on the AP website, then they could, according to what their new policy is, they could actually come after me. Now, they're not going to, but this raises up a huge dilemma here about fair use. I think bloggers are going to be okay if they write about an article and link to it, but if you aggregate that data and put it on your website as the title of their headline and put a little short summary, it sounds to me like the AP is going to come out with all the guns of their lawyers and come after you in a big way. So, the AP board is made up mostly of newspaper industry executives. Of course, those they're probably pretty scared because the newspaper industry is in major decline right now. And not surprisingly, they unanimously agreed to work with portals and other partners who legally license the content and who reward those who gather the news. So in other words, they're trying to control. They're worried about control. So, this is not surprising. Not at all. You see major newspapers folding, going out of business. They're sick and tired of having other people use their content and not getting paid for it. Well, guess what, Mr. AP? Then you need to put it online in a way where it can't be aggregated. Don't put RSS feeds up. Make people log in to get the content. Lock your portals down. That's the solution. You're going to put something out that's got an RSS feed. You're going to aggregate it. Yeah. Stand by. But the Googles and the Huffington Posts and the Yahoos of the world, I'm sure, are going to get sued. And I'm sure this will be a big battle. It will be some sort of a fair use. I'm sure Google will say, hey, this is just fair use. We're only taking a few sentences of their article. We're linking back to the direct article. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think this is a just another ploy by major media to protect their turf? We're going to talk about protecting turf a little more about the folks at Time Warner here in a few minutes. But, you know, it's just a play. This is a major play by these companies. They're desperate because they know their industry is going down the tubes, and there's not a lot you can do about it. But guess what? Guess what, listeners? We can change everything with our own cameras, everything, our own blogs. We can do the news. Moving on here, FriendFeed. Let's talk about FriendFeed for a second. And this is, I guess, the best way to describe what FriendFeed has released today is Twitter on crack. I can't describe it any better than that. What you can do now is you can get real-time updates on FriendFeed. Now, what I've done with FriendFeed is I have got everyone, you know, I've got my Twitter RSS feed in there, I've got my blog, I've got my Facebook, all these different social communities I belong to, I have the RSS feeds in there. So I'm watching all these conversations, right? And normally you would have to refresh the page to get the new set of conversations. But now they update in real time. And I don't know what the bandwidth costs on this. This has to be huge. But, you know, I follow, there's like, what, 4,400 people are following me on Twitter. So every time they say something, the little advance bar on FriendFeed would continue to update. And it was like, you know, 30 updates at a time. Boom, 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 boom. And I watched it for about 10 minutes. I said, I can't do this. I cannot watch this feed. So I'm hoping, and there are some filters and there are some ways you can limit to the amount of live streaming data. That was weird. You know what that was? I had, are we still recording? I guess we are. You hear the guys, you hear that feedback? Oh, that was interesting. Are we back? What happened was I had a one of my windows open to on Firefox. I had one of my windows opened up to the live video stream. And I had the thing turned off, but all of a sudden, the audio started enabled. And, of course, I've got the audio out here wired up so that I can play the intro. And the that was wild. It really was. But, okay, we're back. And no more looping. But anyway, this updating system works real good on FriendFeed to the point where it's pretty dizzy. But you can set some filters, and really the filters are going to be critical in being able to manage a stream of data because it was just too much. You could sit there all day and be mesmerized by what people are talking about, and it's just like being at a party with 4,000 people talking. That's exactly what it was. It's what it felt like anyway. So if you're not using FriendFeed, I'm over there. Of course, my username is Geek News, and I hope you follow me over there as well. Of course, just follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Okay, this is a non-techie article. And it's from Reuters, not the AP. Of course, who knows? They might be getting the AP as well. But Reuters is warning. And of course, this was made the news. I saw this on a major news network tonight as well. But the United States government is warning mortgage fraudsters to stand by. If they're going after people that are having problems paying their mortgage, there's been a dramatic increase in the number of companies that are scamming individuals out of their hard-earned dollars by trying to offer services which are available for free through the U.S. government and basically trying to, you know, get them out of trouble with their debt. So if you're having any type of troubles with your paying your mortgage right now, I would recommend you come over here and read this so that you know you know what to look out for. And, you know, if the deal sounds too good to be true, from these types of companies, or they're trying to charge you a big fee to, you know, make things better, be very leery with these folks because you'll definitely want to check in with the Federal Trade Commission, with the Better Business Bureau. You want to Google these companies and make sure that they're legit. There's a lot of fraudsters out there right now, And the U.S. has basically said, FTC and FCC have said, they're going to come after these guys in a big way. They're going to do it earlier, quicker. They've sent over 70 companies warning letters already saying, hey, we think you're advertising fraudulent services. So if you know the telltale sign is where they want you to pay an upfront fee for them to fix your problem. Okay, so be aware that that is the telltale signs of somebody that's doing a business model that is illegal. All right, over on YouTube, I found a pretty cool video of from the International Space Station. It was from Mike Finke, Finnke. He's one of the crew members up there. He did a tour of his sleeping quarters. And yes, they actually have like a little cubicle that they sleep in. And this is a pretty cool video. And as I got to watching this, and the thing that struck me the most was when they sleep standing up. And they basically strap themselves into a sleeping bag. And, of course, when you're weightless, you know, up is down and down is up and right is left, you know, there's really, you know, no sense of upright. But I would think that just your brain, you know, I'm sure those guys work in a certain way within the International Space Station. Maybe they're upside down, sideways, and every which way all day long. I don't know. But I would think that there would be a sense of up sometimes in the International Space Station where you're working in one way or the other. And then to go into these sleeping quarters, you think they would have designed them so that it would be opposite of what the normal up would be. But if you guys are following what I'm saying, I just think, how do you sleep like that? That's my question. I guess if you're weightless, it doesn't matter if you're strapped into this thing. Maybe you get this feeling of security and you feel like, okay, I'm held in here. I can go to sleep. But I'd like to see some videos these guys put on a wall where they're sleeping and turn them on and just see how their head bounces around at night. It's got to be kind of interesting, don't you think? So that's what we ought to put on this YouTube. Hey, show, you know, take a video for the first hour of you sleeping and let's see how you adjust. I think that would be a cool thing to see from the ISS. I don't know about you guys, but I got to thinking about this after I saw it. Once you guys see the video, you know what I'm talking about. It just looks, because he's got his laptop right there, and you know, just psychologically, your brain has to be like, I'm not laying down, dummy. I'm standing up. That's what you think your brain would do, but I don't know, maybe not. Of course, a little more science news on the astronomy picture of the day. What we have here is, are we still up on, is video still okay? Let me actually ask. Video okay? See if we can get a response from you guys. Anyway, astronomy picture of the day shows a new picture of the International Space Station in all of its glory with all of its power stations and with all its power stations, all of its solar panels out. This thing is big. It is amazing how big this thing has gotten. And even from the distance, it looks huge. So I have this link up in the show notes to share with you guys. All right. X-Man leak. I don't go out and download copyrighted material. I've talked about that on the show before. But this X-Man leak that has been on the internet here for a few days has been downloaded over a million times already. This is what was released was a unfinished work print of X-Men's Origins. And this thing has been going crazy. It's on the Pirate Bay top 100 most popular torrents at this time. But some people already gotten fired from it. Someone that works over at Fox did a review of the actual, the pre-release movie, actually the illegal movie, and that individual has been fired. So, you know, can you imagine? Okay, this movie is by Fox. You're working for Fox, okay, and you're a columnist over there, and you do a review on the Fox website of the illegal available video. Were you just asking to get fired? You know, what kind of a brainiac does that say, okay, my employer owns this film, I work for this company, That means to have reviewed it, I will have had to have illegally downloaded it and watched it and reviewed it. Let's see here. Do you think I'm going to get fired? Yes. Are people losing their minds? You know, there is dumb, and then there is dumber. Really. Jeez. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some things that happened before in the Bush administration that is continuing on now in the Obama administration. You guys remember the wiretapping that was going on with AT&T and how they got busted and basically had some wiretaps going on for some United States agencies, at least what it was reported. Well, it appears that the president has invoked state secrets to prevent a court from reviewing the legality of the National Security Agency warrantless wiretapping program, moving late Friday to have a lawsuit that challenged the program dismissed. The move, which, and I'm reading this directly from an article over on therawstory.com, it says, the move, which holds that information surrounding the massive eavesdropping program, should be kept from the public because of its sensitivities. So if people thought that the change in administration was going to result in a change in policy so far as this wiretapping goes, they are wrong. The administration has continued. This is my commentary here. The administration is basically feels the information is sensitive enough that they have followed along and mirrored the Bush policy on this. So, very interesting move, and I'm sure it's going to upset many that would have expected a change there, but definitely no change from with the new administration. Okay, security threat analysis interview with Dino A. Dizabi. This guy, I'm reading this article, and it's a multi-page interview over on TomsHardware.com, and there's a pretty amazing statement this guy makes about the vulnerability of the internet today, and it's basically backing up some conversations that were had a couple of years ago about how it really would be easy to take down the internet as it stands right now. So this is a pretty good article for those of you interested in security. You'll definitely want to check this out. This guy, I believe, if I read it correctly, he works at one of the national labs. I tell you, these guys that work at national labs, there's some smart cookies out there. So check out this article over on TomsHardware.com. I'll have the link, of course, up for you in the show notes. Very insightful for those of you that are interested in security. How many of you have ever used the application AdBlock Plus? Here is a gentleman that was responsible for maintaining one of the most popular filter lists for AdBlock Plus, and he has passed away at age 56. And so this is a pretty big hit against that community. Hopefully someone will step up and essentially take care of the updates for the program. This guy had tried to stay very anonymous because he was up against so many of the big players out there where he was basically, if you were using this, it would, you know, not allow ads display on websites, and it was a very popular application. So this guy has passed away at 56, and there's some related articles about him in the Slashdot article that I'm reviewing. Hey, I want to thank the folks over at the Daily Hack. I didn't know that DailyHack.net, the writer over there of DailyHack.net, was a listener of the show, but he heard about this this YouTube hack that I talked about in a previous show, and he posted an article up to the original article, gave me credit for, you know, basically passing that information to him. So thanks for C Flowers for being one of the listeners of the show, and hey, you know, I read the Daily Hack; it's in my RSS feed. It's just kind of blown away. I said, hey, there's my name. So very cool there. And thanks for that. You guys check out Daily Hack at dailyhack.net. See how you get free promos for free promos for the show? All right, over on the BBC, Europe's innovative GOCE, I guess G-O-C-E, I probably just destroyed that name, satellite has switched on the super-sensitive instruments that will make ultra-fine measurements of Earth's gravity. And as I was reading through this article, I didn't know a lot about this satellite, but it's flying in a very low orbit, and here's the thing that blew me away. It says, as Gossy bumps through Earth's gravity field, the accelerometers will sense fantastically small disturbances, as small as one part in, let's see here, this is 100 million, billion, 10 trillion of the gravity experience at the Earth's surface. So one part in 10 trillion of the gravity, wow, that is, think about this, that sensitivity. And to think that they could get that sensitive of a instrument in space and have it working. They're very excited because everything so far has checked out. And I guess this thing was 650 million euros. And it was launched by Europe's mighty Ariane rocket. So far, that satellite's doing very well. And the technology used to keep it in orbit is working as well. So very cool stuff. But talk about some major sensitivity. My goodness. Okay, those of you in the UK, remember, actually, most of you in the European Union need to remember that from now on, ISPs and telecom firms are required now to keep on hand the records of who you talk to, who you connect to, emails that you have sent. I believe it doesn't actually contain the actual email itself, but it's basically who you sent it to and who you sent it or who you received it from for up to 12 months. Now, it goes on to say the data store does not include the content of emails or a record of net phone calls, but is used to determine connections between individuals, and authorities can get access to the stored records with a warrant. Governments across the EU have now started to implement the directive into their own national legislation. So I guess it's going to start in the UK first, but it's going to spread to all other European Union countries. This is huge, you know. And, of course, I think this is already going on here in the United States. I think most ISPs are keeping most data for a couple of years here on U.S. users already. But this is a first for those of you in the UK, as far as I know. A little talk on Business Week about banner ad prices and basically advertising and how it's taking a hit, downward trend on pricing, and this is having an impact on companies' bottom lines. So we'll see what happens here. But they believe with profiling and behavioral targeting that that actually could result in an increase in banner cost. When they start implementing some of these technologies. So even though prices are spiraling down, these targeted advertising will have more value. Of course, that's the value of podcasting as well, because we know, those of you listening to the show, are techies, you're geeks, you want to learn about technology. So technology companies want to advertise and podcast and reach this audience. And, at least the smart ones do. Let's talk a little bit about Time Warner again. And I actually forgot to ask the folks that came out for the meetup on Saturday what they thought about Time Warner's internet usage pricing. But, the more I think about this, the more it makes my blood boil that they're doing this. And the major reason that my blood boils is I don't have an alternative. My, in Hawaii, if they bring this to Hawaii, I'm done. I am going to be paying a massive amount for data every month. I'm sure of it. And I'm sure many of the other people that live in Hawaii are going to as well. They're saying 15% of the Time Warner user base is affected by their maximum cap of 40 gigs. There's 15% of their user base are going to be going over 40 gigs a month. So I think what they've planned on is to be able to lose those 15% markets where, hey, they have more than one internet service provider. People could switch to Comcast and be on a 250 gig plan for the same price they'd be on a Time Warner 40 gig plan. And they're saying that these higher pricing indexes with Time Warner is going to be extraordinarily high, as much as $200 a month if you want to go into their higher gigabyte offerings that they're considering. But, this is simply, and I have to say it again, this is simply a move by this company to undercut and stifle innovation, stifle online consumption of media. If you live in an area that has Time Warner, you're next. You know, you're next. San Antonio, Austin, Rochester, New York. It's coming next month. Later this summer, Greensboro, North Carolina is on the hook. You know, Time Warner was spun off from Time Warner Cable. So what we're going to have is they're going to be started trading separately on the stock market soon. And we need to send a very loud message to this company. And I encourage all of you, the 40 gigs limit is ridiculous. If you rent just a couple of high-def movies and get them streamed over the internet through either iTunes, through a Boxy, through Vudu, or any of the other service, Netflix, Blockbuster, if you rent a couple of HD videos online, surf the internet, watch this show streaming from time to time, you know what? You're going to bust your 40 gig cap. And you know what? You can end up paying a dollar a gig over. There's a report says that suggested a family on a 40 gig plan that streams 7.25 hours of online video a week could end up spending $200 per month on broadband usage fees. All right, you think about what you stream, what your wife streams, what your kids stream. Okay, there's multiple consumers of data usually in homes. You add in podcast downloads, stuff you watch on YouTube. The average person in Beaumont, Texas, great testing place, by the way, Time Warner. Why don't you test this in a real city like San Francisco or L.A. or someplace like that where, you know, come on. I'm not saying that people in Beaumont, Texas are not technical, super savvy on the internet, but I bet you Austin would have been a good test city. If you had any guts, you would have tested there. They said that that 14% of the people in Beaumont paid an average of $19 a month. Now, you think about that, an average of $19 a month. That means some people paid a dollar and some people paid $100. This is I'm telling you, this is coming, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just scream out loud to this company, and I'm sorry if I've spent a lot of time on this, but 40 gigs is ridiculous. Oh, someone said on the, it's Beaumont, not Beaumont, Beaumont. All right, Beaumont, Texas. Cody, thanks. I appreciate it. So, okay, $59.95 for 40 gigs. Boys, hey, you know what? That's a bargain. You know how much it costs me for you to download this podcast? 19 cents a gig. Do the math on that. Oh, man. Now, this leads right into an FCC article. FCC is going to begin broadband overhaul policy change. They're going to look at the broadband across the United States. Yeah, about time that they did that, that's for sure. Okay, let me go and continue to move on here. Oh, how'd you guys think of that? How many of you saw the Microsoft Second Attack Mac ad? This time, this gentleman was looking for a $1,500 laptop, and I actually show him in a Fry's looking at Macs. And he said he knew what he was doing, what he was looking for. And yes, he picked up an HP HDX laptop for $1,199, I guess. He got the extra $400. I guess there's like eight of these videos that, and this is something I heard. Microsoft is saying that all of these ads, they had an independent film crew following these people around. This is a statement from Microsoft that it was an independent film crew, follow these guys around, they did the challenge, they weren't coerced anyway, believe what you want to believe. Now, we'll see if anyone ever buys a PC on any of these ads. I mean, buys a Mac on any of these ads. I don't think so. But I guess most of the Mac users are poo-pooing the ad, but it's having a very, very good effect. It really is. A software called Boinks, B-O-I-N-X, TV, lets you capture Skype, iChat for video interviews. It's software that is for Mac OS X. It costs $500 a month. $500. Yeah, it's still on the high cost of Mac stuff. Of course, it's going to cost $500. But a Boink TV 1.2 adds a new screen source feature, lets you grab arbitrary screen regions and use them as a source in any layer, which is kind of cool. So basically, I can have a Skype up here in one corner, and then I can basically switch between me and another person that would be on Skype for a live stream. So that's kind of cool. So we'll have to check that out. But for $500, expensive. Camcast. More than one person can be in there. Okay. All right, how many of you remember Fonera? F-O-N-E-R-A. Fonera 2 is it's a new Wi-Fi router by those folks, and it's where you can basically set up your own hotspot to let people get onto a secure portion of your hotspot, pay a fee to be able to surf the internet, or you can make it open and make it free while at the same time protecting your own internet. But Fonera 2 combines Wi-Fi sharing, BitTorrent, and network storage. So on April 21st, Fonera 2 is going to go on sale in Europe for 50 euros or 68 U.S. dollars. It'll be available worldwide in May. Now, I've got a Fonera running at my house, one of the original Foneras. You come by my place and you need a little Wi-Fi connection. There's a open Wi-Fi port where people can get in, and all they have to do is register and they can get through and actually use the internet for free. So it's a pretty cool little product. Over on BBC again, I set a little bit of on the environment side, ice bridge ruptures in Antarctica. It says an ice bridge linking a shelf of ice the size of Jamaica to two islands in Antarctica has snapped, and scientists are saying that the collapse could mean that the Wilkins ice shelf, which is a huge ice shelf, could be on the brink of breaking away and provides further evidence of rapid change of the environment in the region. I got some pictures. I have them linked up to you in the show notes. There's a bad April Fool's joke that went bad for a firm that actually does trading on the stock market. Online brokerage Zecko had the bright idea for April's Fool to load up user balances with much more money than they actually had, sometimes millions more, except it looks like they never bothered to make sure people couldn't use that money. So some people started using the cash that they put in their account for an April Fool's joke. It's turning into a big mess, and they're scrambling to basically make all kinds of excuses. But if you came up short and you made some bad trades, they're deducting those bad trades from your account. So I see some lawsuits coming here very, very quickly. Imagine you're a designer. You do make some copyright. You make some logos. You put them, you sell them to a client, and then someone gets a hold of your images, uploads them to a site that actually does, where you can sell pictures and so forth, and then you try to get that company to take it down, and they accuse you of copyright violation. So a designer has been threatened with copyright infringement claims on his own work, and the company that's going after him has actually hired lawyers to try to, prove or intimidate this guy into paying money for his own images to have him taken offline. This is just ridiculous. And they're actually going after him in a bigger way by contacting his clients and said that he sold the images illegally. So this is turning into a very ugly, ugly mess. I'm telling you, keep your data safe, folks. There's crazy stuff going on out there. All right, the Hubble has snapped images of a triple galaxy as ordered by the people. The Hubble Space Telescope took a closer look at this triple galaxy, which was voted on by 140,000 people, voted on six potential targets, and with over 67,000 votes, the area called ARP-274 was closely imaged by Hubble, and these are available up online. Of course, NASA didn't let everybody just have a free-for-all voting. They had six different targets. All right, that wraps up the regular content tonight. I've got a voicemail for you and, of course, some email as well. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7900. 7365. Let me go ahead and play the voicemail. I listened to just the start of it here earlier. I know it's from Trucker Tom. Of course, Trucker Tom is the one that is responsible for my on-the-road intro. So let me go ahead and play that for you, and then we'll get into the voicemail comments. Here comes Trucker Tom.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom.
Hey, Tom.
I was listening to your comment regarding XM Cirrus, and it's actually podcasting that caused me to give up my XM radio, caused me to cancel my XM radio subscription back in the first part of 2005 after I discovered podcasting. In late 2004, I continued to have the XM subscription, and I finally, just after a few months, I finally canceled it because I was no longer listening to it. I was kind of all consumed with the podcast content, and there's really no way I would go back. As long as podcasts are available, that's far, far superior to anything that they have on XM or Sirius. And XM or Sirius, both of those are just basically, they're a little bit of an improvement maybe over a regular AM/FM radio, but they're basically a radio transmitter with a bigger tower. And, so podcasting is far superior. Much greater choice. The end user has complete control over the playback. And that can't be matched. Anyhow, great show. Keep up the great work. Great. I hope you have good travels. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, thanks for that. I appreciate it. I guess the folks over on Ustream are telling me that my video stream keeps dropping. And can't really do anything about that. I can tell that the EVO hasn't hung here. But, yeah, I guess I understand completely why you dropped your subscription. It just makes total sense. There's a lot of great content out there. A lot of it's much richer than any content you're ever going to hear on any terrestrial or satellite radio. That's for sure. Okay, let me go ahead and thanks, Tom, for all the great content you've been submitting. I definitely appreciate it. It's really helped add some new stuff, new content to the show. Got an email from Frank. He says, "Hey, Todd, net neutrality not." And basically, it's an article from the Burton Orange Report talking about Time Warner Cable wanting to introduce the cap bandwidth. So he has got a good article there that's from an article in Austin. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from John. He says, "As a geek, I love some NASA material, but this is way too cool." He links me up to a space shuttle that is made in Legos. So I'll have you guys check that out. James Kelly sent me an email and said, "Hey, Todd, there is a clothing optional park in Austin. So the no clothes problem has a solution." James, luckily I didn't have to go to Austin without any clothes for sure. All right, got an email from Henry. He says, "Hey, Todd, I've been listening since episode 50. So you are definitely a longtime listener, part of the Ohana. He says, "On episode 465, you had a listener who wondered if he did enough to remove a virus. I have listened to it twice to make sure I heard it. He said nothing about patching and updating his system. With an up-to-date antivirus and a fully patched system, they will come back." In other words, the virus will come back. "Two other programs I would suggest are SpyBot Search Ad Destroyer and Malware Bytes." So SpyBot Search Ad Destroyer and Malware Bytes. Both of them are available at download.com. "Install and update the software. Run a full scan with both. Update your antivirus software. Run a full scan with it. Run Windows update as many times as it takes to get all the critical patches. Keep up the great podcast. Aloha, Henry." Henry, appreciate it. And Henry's out of Michigan. Definitely thanks for the follow-up on that. I think you're spot on, Henry, with your advice. Got an email from Jeffrey Powers. He says, "Hey, Todd, just a thought. On the road intro by Trucker Tom, you might want to lower the audio levels on that. It kind of blasts through." Jeffrey, I did that tonight. I hope I lowered it enough to keep from blowing your eardrums out at the beginning. Got an email from Tony, And hey, Todd, just found this new Firefox add-on that lets you display all your tabs in a folder style format down the left side hand of the browser, and it has a lot of other features as well. It's called Tree Style Tab, and you can get it here. He links it to me. Thanks very much for all your time and commitment in producing the show. I look forward to every episode. Cheers, Tony. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that link. And it's a pretty cool plugin. I was playing around with it as well. Thomas, I think what I'm going to do there is I may have to actually send you the files. If you give me an FTP address, I can probably upload the files you're looking for somewhere remotely, or I might be able to, and I know everyone's like, what is he talking about? I'll actually see if I can find out where the 404 error is coming in. I will say this, number one and number two are not available for reasons that I don't want the RIAA to come after me, okay? I got an email from Ron. He says, hey, Todd, the Nintendo DSi is now available to buy via Amazon. He gives me a link to that. I'm not a big Nintendo hand game thing fan, but if you are looking for a Nintendo DSi, they're available. And, of course, yes, Jim, Microsoft releases a second Laptop Hunters commercial. I'm sure you're going to have fun with this one on the show. Yep, we talked about it earlier, and, of course, it will be great fun to see what everyone has to say about this. Got an email from Ross. Say, Todd, I've been following you on Twitter for a couple of weeks. Only had your podcast on my iPod Touch for a couple of weeks also. I'm addicted to tech podcasts, and yours adds a different flavor. Blueberry, maybe, haha. Anyway, you were mentioning the limitations of Skype on the iPhone and iPod Touch in some countries. I live in Canada, and the application isn't available in our iTunes store. There is an easy fix for that. I just made a fake U.S. account and never chose a payment option. I now have Skype on my iPod Touch. Now all I need is a microphone for it since I have the first generation iPod Touch. You're mentioning how slow your Wi-Fi connection was at the Hilton. While I travel to Europe, there's hardly a hotel upscale that offers free internet, be it Wi-Fi or broadband. We usually have to pay $25 a day for it. You're also mentioning caps and metering on internet. Here in Canada, I only have 60 gigabytes a month for downloading, uploading. I like to watch stream podcasts and such, but it doesn't take too much, and you can exceed your bandwidth. I have gone over a bit before, never been charged. Last month, I went over by 6 gigs. I may get charged $1.50 Canadian a gig. Only laugh when I heard Comcast is going to limit to $2.50. I only wish I had that limit. Why is Google Voice charging me 1 cent a minute to use it here in Canada, and Grand Central had it for free? That's a good question. I don't know. Great podcast you have, and I look to hearing more from you, Ross, in Trenton, Ontario, Canada. Thanks for the comments, Ross. Definitely appreciate it. Dennis, yes, I have you down for the meeting in Dallas. So, yes, I've got your email. Send me your contact telephone number, and I will provide you a time and a place. I'll announce it Thursday. I'll figure out a place. So you'll have to listen to the show early Friday to get the details. Hey, I got an email from a PR person. I don't normally read these in the email section. Normally I delete them. But Veronica actually did the right thing, and she listened to a podcast, and she referenced some recent topics I had, and she actually suggested in the correct way, this is the best way to do this. Veronica, you did very good in doing your research and taking a few minutes to figure out about the show, so I'm going to reciprocate and actually tell the folks in the audience about this service. And what she's promoting is Bello, B-L-E-L-L-O-W. You may have heard about it during South by Southwest. It's a new microblog community for freelancers and professionals. There was a TechCrunch article on it. So if you guys want to check out Bello, B-L-E-L-L-O-W, I have the link up to it in the show notes. You guys can. Again, this came from a PR person, but she did a good job in the actual introducing herself and telling me about this show, and referencing some other articles. So she did a very good job, and so I'll give her. This is one time you get a free one. Okay, I guess that's it, folks. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Or for those of you overseas, +1 619-342-7365. Call and leave comments about the show. Of course, emails are always appreciated as well. Geeknews@gmail.com. I want to thank all of you for being a great Ohana, being part of the family here. And really, during my my meetup in Austin, the point was driven home that the guys there felt that they were really part of the family. And I had a great time hanging out. And that is absolutely the spirit that the show is all about, is sharing with you guys, wanting you guys to be in your ear like family. And that's the most important aspect of this podcast. I know that I've added the video portion, and although the video portion is only just a micro fraction of the total audience here of thousands and thousands of listeners, I wanted to give those people that like to watch versus listen an opportunity to do so. But the spirit of Ohana is alive and well. The spirit of you guys being part of the family here is what makes this show continue to rock and roll and grow. And you guys are my best advocates out there spreading the word about the podcast and supporting the sponsors as well. That is, that's a thing here that really helps me keep going and definitely keeps the lights on as much as possible at the Cochran House. And you, for that matter, you guys are part of family. You know, anytime you guys support me that way, well, is good. So anyway, I guess I'll get off in here. I've rambled enough. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. And we'll be back with you live here from Texas on Thursday. And if you guys want to tune in, I get going about, trying to get going about 8 p.m. Central Standard Time while I'm still in the continental lower 48. But I will be heading back to Honolulu on Saturday. And, of course, the regular show will pick up in Honolulu at its regular scheduled time next week. But until Thursday, when I do the next show here in Texas, thanks for listening and being part of the Ohana, and take care and aloha.